Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The great thinkers, the great philosophers of the orc culture and society, right?
Orcrates.
Orcrates. Welcome back to the internet's number one fake history podcast, The Lore Boys. I'm your host, Ethan Palmer. With me is Peter O'Donoghue.
Hello, newly healthy cat, confirmed by a doctorb.
And James Miller. Are vets doctors, James?
Vets are doctors. Peter and I were both at a vet today. My doggy got bit, and Peter's just had to get worms out his cat. And I think they are doctors because he was taller than me, so I think he was a doctor.
Oh, my doctor was a lady, so that throws a little wrench in the machine, doesn't it?
Was she taller than you?
No, she was not.
It's very unusual for a doctor.
What's the old throwback? A big nurse is what you call it?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So she was a very small big nurse, which I'm...
a little big nurse.
Confuses me.
The new PlayStation 5 release title, Little Big Nurse.
Little Big Nurse. Sack Doc.
What's the actual game that came out? It's like Snack Munch or Bug Munch or something.
Bug Snacks. Yeah. There was a donkey on it. I posted in the Lore Fucking Boys Bear. Discord memes channel.
I watched a guy lure the mayor out of the town, then throw a springboard under his feet. He launched the mayor off a cliff. He's like, "I'm the mayor now." Goes back to the town and tries to take it over. So
oh my god.
That's very good. Doesn't look great, but welcome to Bugsnax lore.
We're going to go into the calorie counts of all the different snacks.
So we're not talking about Bugsnax. We're talking about Warhammer 40K, again, as decided by you, the listeners, specifically the listeners that subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. This poll was put up for them and was decided by them. Out of a pre-selected, curated list of topics. So if you like this episode and you like that we're talking about Warhammer 40K, if you're perhaps new here, we do have an ongoing series about the Warhammer 40K Space Marines. This is not going to be a Space Marine episode. This is going to be a divergence from the Space Marines to what some might call green Space Marines that are orcs instead of Space Marines.
Broccoli?
Broccoli Marines.
We've established our fucking lost chapters already. There's no broccoli marines. Yeah. Nothing healthy. It's
bouncy
castle and the candy floss.
Exactly. Okay, so why don't you guys give us a quick rundown of 40K lore from the start. From the start of the 40K universe, Milky Way galaxy. Jamie, what do you remember?
So it all started in the stinky pit of a man in a games workshop.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
When you zoom in close enough, there was a civilization. It was on Terra, I think. And then this place, they got all super advanced, and they spread out across the galaxy, and they had this network of communication, and eventually the communication just cuts. And then this is how, like, basically what was one big tribe kind of evolves into a bunch of little tiny tribes all over the 40K universe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you more or less hit the human arc on the head. The only other detail I'd say is then in around the year 30,000, from like 28,000 to 30,000, the God Emperor of Mankind, not the God Emperor yet, just the Emperor of Mankind, decides to go on a crusade of reunification across the galaxy and is reuniting all the different tribes of humans. So we will talk about that crusade a bit on this episode. Peter, you want to fill us in with some of those filthy Xenos races that we've talked about in the past?
Well, we've talked about the Tyranids, who are the only extra-galactic race. They're squatters, basically. They come in to digest planets and turn them into guns. And then we've also talked about the Necron, which are I don't know. It's probably just like the ultimate Ponzi scheme where they got tricked into turning into robot skeletons by vampires.
Because they had a plutonium sun that just bled radiation onto their planet constantly.
Their sun was too close and gave everyone cancer all the time. Yeah. So they were desperate for a solution. And what's that guy's name? The ultimate Ponzi scheme guy.
Enron.
Nope.
Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff. That's it. Yeah.
So Bernie Madoff, who was the head of Enron. I mean.
Oh, was he the head of Enron?
He was the guy that the Ponzi scheme Enron. Anyway, welcome to Bernie Madoff lore. He was forbidden from trading stocks in prison, but he wasn't forbidden from recommending stocks to buy to the people that managed his trust while he was in prison. So, the justice system at work, folks.
Don't buy stocks. You buy Pokemon cards, dude. Logan Paul did it.
Easy, easy.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. He's a rap superstar.
Check my merch. Check that merch.
So, we talked about all these things, and of course, everyone's favorite forgotten stepchild, the Eldar. We did talk about as well. We'll be talking about one event on our Eldar episode that we specifically mentioned on today's episode, so there will be a little callback. If you guys want to listen to those episodes, links will be in the description. Please go check them out, and if you like them, consider telling your friends and maybe your family. Maybe your grandmother would love this podcast. I'm great with grandmothers.
If she's got a mouth of a sailor, then maybe she might.
Wait, who's editing? Maybe we can just put all the previous episodes squished down into 1 second, so then if you can get a quick recap in case you didn't want to listen to it.
Oh, yeah. A nice concise at the beginning, right before the game form.
The legendary bird Pokemon sound from first gen. We talked about this during the sound check.
Zapdos.
So like any of our good Warhammer 40K episodes, I'd love to start you guys off with a quote here. And this is going to be my only quote today. So, you know, you only have to suffer through my voice acting for one. Of all the races I have battled throughout the galaxy, the orc is the hardest to comprehend. They wage war with machines that should not work, care little for strategic gains, and are just as likely to slaughter each other as the enemy. How does one battle an enemy that defies all logic? That was some guy named Vernal Larrick. He was apparently a rogue trader.
Okay.
Cool. But yeah, I think what's interesting about that quote is the machines that shouldn't work, because orc machines, by all scientific means of examination, should not function as machines, but they do for orcs.
This is the only thing I know about the orcs from 40K, is they have like the magical power of good enough, where somehow they just believe something works and thus it is so. They're psychic but are too stupid to realize it or something. I don't really know.
We'll get into it.
Okay.
So the orcs, also called greenskins, are a savage, warlike, green-skinned species of humanoids who possess physiological features of both animals and fungi, who are spread all across the Milky Way galaxy.
Oh, they're part fungus.
They're some fun guys. What can I say?
Ooh.
While they may be seen by their enemies, who are pretty much every other sapient race in the galaxy, as savage, violent, and crude, they are the most numerous species in the whole galaxy, outnumbering possibly every other intelligent starfaring species, even humanity, with the very plausible exception of the Tyranids. So no one, it's hard to count Tyranids. They burrow, they transform. Sometimes they'll split into two while you're counting them. Sometimes two will split into one. So
that's where that old saying "mating like orcs" comes from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they fuck like orcs.
Okay, yeah,
it makes so much more sense to me now.
Yeah. Right, right.
Fun fact about the orcs: very sensual lovers, actually.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Well, sure.
What kind of noises do they make in the fort? I always think of Zug Zug from the WoW universe.
Very similar. Very similar. So okay.
Cockney accents. They sound like poor British people.
Yeah. One thing at a lot of Warhammer 40K conventions and stuff, like a pretty rallying cry. You guys are familiar with ones like Blood for the Blood God, Skulls for the Skull Throne. There's like I think it's
for the Emperor.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's. Oh, I'm not gonna remember.
Is
it
Deus Vault?
Work.
You go home now.
You go home. Yeah.
Work is the poop.
So, numerous beyond belief, and driven always to fight and conquer, the orcs threaten every single intelligent species cohabiting in the Milky Way. They're possibly the most... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that was going to be one of my early questions is, do they work with anybody or are they just too ornery and difficult to deal with?
They barely work with other orcs.
Yeah, I was going to say, they barely work with themselves. Yeah.
Can I put up that plastic fence at the top of the stairs to keep them safe from themselves, basically? Like toddlers.
Yeah, yeah. The older orc will throw the younger orc down the stairs.
Damn it.
So they're possibly the most warlike aliens in the 41st millennium. Their number is beyond counting. Amid constant seething tides of battle and bloodshed, burgeoning orc stellar empires rise and fall. Mercifully, most of these empires are short-lived, soon destroying themselves in a maelstrom of violence and internecine conflict. But should the orcs ever truly unify, they would likely crush all opposition. So that's really the only thing getting in their way is themselves. They keep tripping on their two left feet, and their two left feet being their brother, who has a gun and wants to kill them.
I remember you saying to us in past episodes when you play Warhammer 40K, like the one where the big battles, like you have to have the orcs fight something constantly or else they start to fight each other, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So that was so I used to play Warhammer Fantasy Battles.
I have your figures.
That was a rule in the old Fantasy Battle. I don't know if it's still, I haven't read anything, but it was a rule called Animosity, which if they hadn't fought in a certain number of turns, that you would have to like roll every time they didn't fight in a round, and there was a chance that they just start fighting amongst themselves and just start killing each other while they're on the battlefield. And if they do it like too many turns in a row, then they just dissolve into chaos and just like all murder each other, and you just like lost a unit that never got to fight. So orcs have and do threaten humanity many times over the course of the galaxy's history. It was the defeat of an invading orc force which would eventually earn Horus the title of War Master at the God Emperor's side. So you guys remember Horus, right?
I was in
Horus Heresy.
Yeah,
exactly. I listened to the episode, but I wasn't on that one. But yeah, I know who he is.
I think we've only done the lead up to the Horus Heresy. We haven't covered the entire thing in its entirety yet, eh?
No, we did. We did ages ago, so we have a very old episode on Horus. But we've talked about it a fair amount.
Yeah.
Just you and I. Just a couple of bros sharing a beer talking about Horus, you know?
Okay.
Yep. So
we will get into it someday. I do keep promising to do it. It was on the poll this week, and people said nay. They wanted orcs, so we went with orcs. But
teach him a lesson. We should never do it now.
Yeah,
that's just, remember, just remember, it's the other fans' fault. So you can blame them instead of
exactly.
All of us have all responsibility.
It's the bourgeoisie, right? It's the middle class, the people who are paying for this. We're obviously in the upper class. They're in the middle class because they're supporting our content financially, and you guys are supporting our content by engaging with us. And so you're the lower class, of course.
Yeah, it was just like our Minecraft servers where all of our houses were on tops of hills.
Yeah.
But everybody else, they were on the ground beneath us. Yeah.
Mine was on the tallest hill, I will say.
And then there was that big weird prison that got built while I was away.
So I guess for the uninitiated, Horus would lead a heresy and would eventually lead to the death of the God Emperor of Mankind, the fall of the Empire of Mankind, and the, kind of creation of the Chaos Space Marines in a sense. So when he first becomes noticed, really, by the Emperor, is in a battle against the Orcs. It's during something called the Ulanor Crusade. We'll set it up today. And I think in the future, if people like Orc episodes, I might be able to do a dual action Horus and Orcs. Horcus, or...
Oh,
or Oris, I don't know.
Oris
episode of the future, kind of the two sides of the battle: what's going on with the orcs and what's going on with
the. Yeah, we got to come up with the name first, then the script will come later for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's how we do all our episodes, right?
Yeah,
it's the lore boys' magic. Yeah. Honestly, they're all written half an hour before we record them.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, so we wrote it down. So Jamie, you remember what the title for this episode is, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
What is
it? It's Orc and Beans.
Okay. Not bad.
That's pretty good.
All right. I'll write it down. I'm not promising that that will actually be the title of the episode, but I'll write it down.
I was about to write it down as well.
Just the sound of pens scribbling furiously at that fucking bombshell.
He's thrown for a loop again.
So to start, let's focus on who and what the orcs are. Who are the great thinkers, the great philosophers of the orc culture and society, right?
Orcrates.
Orcrates. Playtork.
Playtork, yeah. Orc Braham Linkork.
Yeah, I'm writing that one down. I'm writing that one down, too. Orc Braham Linkork. Is a very good
That's
title.
Good one.
Of an Thank episode. You. So,
four score and eight millennia ago. So the orcs, a few things about them. Peter kind of touched on this before. They generate a potent psychic field, a gestalt field, so one that's kind of just innate. It's not okay. conscious at all. It allows them to accomplish many feats of technological engineering that might otherwise seem impossible. At the same time, the power of this psychic field is directly proportional to the number of greenskins present in a given location.
So they'll contribute to like some kind of psychic dome, basically.
Exactly. They're all just like Wi-Fi range extenders, yeah. And when you get enough of them into a room, you can send your Wi-Fi to the moon. You know.
Sick. I was gonna say, yeah, they all have a bubble around them, and the more of a Venn diagram you make, the more power is in that little
exactly. Part. Yeah. The more orcs that gather, the more orcs are drawn to them because they kind of lights up like a psychic beacon, I guess. At the same time, the power and intelligence of the greenskins begins to grow with their numbers. Now, power grows pretty exponentially. Intelligence is kind of like a logarithmic scale. You know what I mean? Like it's got diminishing returns.
Okay.
I have an orc brain, so I don't know what logarithmic means.
Orc. The orc's unquenchable thirst for battle has always proved their downfall. Historically, the orc tribes have spent much of their time fighting amongst themselves, waging brutal wars with only the strongest surviving. On occasion, an orc leader will emerge who is mighty enough to defeat his rivals and unite a number of warring tribes. Do you guys know what a group of orcs is called?
Clan.
Oh,
it's boys.
No, Jamie's close.
It's like a war.
Oh, no, Jamie's not close.
No,
you had the first two letters right. So his success, the orc leader's success, will draw other tribes to him, and soon a great wah! It's the sound Waluigi makes is the name of an army of orcs.
Yeah. Oh, me stumbling on my words was close enough.
A wah is underway, partly a migration, partly a holy war that can exterminate the populations of entire star systems. When the orcs are on the rampage, the galaxy trembles, and in the age of the Dark Imperium, there are more wahs rising than ever before recorded. So Dark Imperium being the age of darkness, where all technology got cut off, there was these terrible warp storms that ripped through the galaxy and cut off all human communication with each other. Barring a couple systems that had like little groups of planets, there was no like central government for the galaxy anymore, and humanity kind of dissolved into these clans, which Jamie briefly talked about at the top of the episode.
Yeah. The cups and strings still worked, but if you had cell phones, you couldn't get to your friends kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And all analog.
They thought I was stupid for holding on to this thing.
two aluminum cans and 4 million miles of string.
four million is so lowballed. Like that wouldn't even reach our sun.
Talk to a guy on the moon though.
If you had enough orcs, you would just need two cups and no string because they could just believe it into being a phone, right?
Yeah, that's true. It does make a can technically wireless technology, doesn't it?
So, I mean, Mars, the next closest planet, you're right. You could talk to someone on the moon, but Mars, maybe the next closest planet, maybe Venus is closer, I don't know. The minimum distance from Earth to Mars is 33.9 million miles.
Whatever. How do you know that? Have you ever gone there?
Yeah, a couple times.
Okay. Cool.
Dude, I called you on the can string. It's like you don't even remember our conversation sometimes. It really rubs me, man.
My can was a can from a pork and beans thing, by the way.
Okay, good.
Can you use a label on it?
My can was a can of beer. I cut the top off. It was a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Hey, Pabst Blue Ribbon. That's a good sponsor. Crunch at us. I assume you're listening. We'll do Pabst Blue Ribbon lore. Sure.
Fuck yeah.
oldest mule piss in America or something, right? So the orcs are a biologically engineered species. They're not homegrown, they're lab-grown. They were created more than 60 million Terran years ago as a warrior race, originally called the Kerork. by the long vanished reptilian alien species known as
the Old Ones.
The Old Ones. The orcs refer to the Old Ones as the Brain Boys with a Z.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, yeah. That is canon. Brain Boys.
They're from the planet Hood.
Yeah. So, Peter, you remember Old Ones? You remember what episode we talked about the Old Ones on? The most, I guess, because I think we also talked about them on another episode. But the
most. It'd be with the Necron tier, exactly. Wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know because the Necron are also from like tens of millions of years ago. So yeah. With the Catan or Satan or whatever. So
yeah, there was the Catan who were the space vampires, and they were warring with the Old Ones.
Yeah,
and the space vampires recruited the Necron tier to turn them into the Necron with the living metal exoskeletons that they built for them.
There you go.
Check out our Necron episode. I think it's some of the coolest lore in 40K, personally.
Nice. So, what's Grimdank?
Grimdank?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't you tell
me? It's a subreddit where I see all the Warhammer 40K memes, and I don't know what the reference
is. Grimdark is the setting for 40K is like considered, what the theme kind of is, where it's like, oh, everything is bleak, you know, there's death and pestilence and plague and there's constant war. That's grimdark. That's like real edgy boy stuff. So grimdank would be
dank.
The meme. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So dank
I get
means
it.
Meme, and meme means dank, right?
Right. Where they're used together, at least.
In tandem, yeah.
So, Old Ones, older reptilian race, which once ruled the Milky Way, but has now all but vanished from the galaxy. The ancient Krork were known to possess more advanced technology than that of the present greenskin race, and to be on average larger, in some cases standing as tall as 12 meters. So apparently the orcs have been evolving backwards for some time.
Oh. Okay.
Relatable, right, guys?
Hugely relatable. Dude, what I love about evolving is that I do it without offspring. I just do it on my own. I just evolve, you know?
Yeah,
shorter and fatter, just like a baby.
Shorter and fatter and less technologically advanced.
Oh yeah, I can't keep up.
And less hairy.
Oh, I don't know about that. My shoulders are the next frontier, honestly.
I mean, up here maybe, up at the hairline maybe a little less hairy, but so the orcs were created by the Brain Boys to fight the Necrons and their Catan masters in the great interstellar conflict called the War in Heaven that shattered the galactic civilization of the Old Ones that existed prior to the rise of the Eldari.
Again, I remember this actually quite a lot. This was like 2.5 years ago now.
Yeah.
Holy shit, yeah. I remember that.
There was the War in Heaven, which we talked about on the Eldar episode as well, which is where the old Eldar gods were killed and then kind of replaced. At least some of them, not all of them, were killed. Check out our Eldar episode if that sounds interesting to you.
Like aspects of Khorne or whatever, or the
exactly, yeah,
yeah,
okay. Avatars of Khorne.
Avatar, yeah.
Well, there was maybe the aspects of Khorne were like the pieces that came down, shattered down. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I just did the episode. Go listen to it, you dummy. For the listeners at home, I'm calling Peter the dummy here for asking me these questions while I'm trying to get through the orcs. Not you guys. You guys are great. So orcs are genetically engineered to be muscular, aggressive, and none too bright. Their technology is maintained by a cast of what are called odd boys, who possess genetically implanted dispositions and technical knowledge that grant them unusual skill with maintaining and developing technology. What that means, in layman's terms, is they just they know how machine work. They don't have to study. They, you know, there's no, you know, 4 years or 6 years in STEM. They just like, they know how it works because it was genetically implanted into them.
What are their genitals like?
Big and green.
Okay. Good to know.
Both genders, big and green.
Cool.
So this
Blur, actually.
So this skill is an unconscious one, preserved through genetic memories hardwired into the Odd Boys' DNA by the Brain Boys millions of standard years ago. So they just gave them the I can't believe incepted. They did the inception of the this is how machines work in one of their dreams one day, and then they just kept that in their DNA forever, basically.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. I'm seeing a something here right now, and I'm wondering if I can call it, but I'm not going to do that at this point.
Okay. Pete, why don't you go ahead and call it?
Is it Leonorco de Orcrio?
DiCapriork. Leonorco.
Sadly,
right now and down.
Sadly, it is not. No, my thing was going to be the fact that all of their tech is made of garbage now. It's because no one's been maintaining the genetic techno codes, basically.
No, you were more on point with your first one, basically. I mean, it's garbage because it's intuitive and it's not like they don't care about how it looks, and it just, they know how it works, and it works, like you said, because they want it to work more than because it should work, you know?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's all the like graphic design orcs were wiped out at some point in the past 60 million years. Exactly. And all that's left over is the like brutish knuckle dragging trade school orcs. So everything is like all function over form, basically.
Yeah. It's Tinkerbell logic. It's like, if you believe it, it'll happen, kind of thing.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
So orcs simultaneously, it basically seems like they simultaneously have intelligence boosters and intelligence limiters, both hardwired into their DNA. You know, don't want them getting too smart and getting uppity, but we want them to still be able to make technology. So we'll just give them, you know, the innate ability to do that without having to ever consciously rationalize it.
Yeah, okay. They're very good at building things, but upstairs they're all thumbs, basically.
I picture like a car looks like what a four-year-old would draw a car, but it actually works on those lumpy wheels and everything.
Yeah, exactly. But like that's exactly how orc technology works. Like, it's like they get these like huge like walking mechs, and then another race will beat them in a battle, and they'll go grab the mech, and they'll be like, it's nothing but honey and marmalade in here. Like, this isn't mech oil. This is just, you know, it's like, these are Tinker Toys. There's not even a fuel source in here. How the hell was this killing people? But it seems to work. So the old ones created them with the purpose of destroying the Necron in mind, but likely wanted to be able to control them, so stop them from being too intelligent.
Okay.
You know, smart doesn't make good surf class. Right?
Yeah, it would be a real problem if all of a sudden they were just like, hey, we beat the fucking star skeletons. we'd really love to vote now. And then those lizard people would probably be like, oh, the dang.
Yeah. I knew we shouldn't have given you free thought.
Yeah.
I really want to hear that hair metal band too. Star skeletons sounds awesome.
I'm just thinking about like a bunch of like buff, shredded like fucking green-skinned suffragettes marching on lizard men, basically asking for their vote.
Their hit track, Under the Sun, Under the Cancerous Light of a Radioactive Star. It's a ballad.
It's like 11 minutes long.
Yeah. So indeed, the Brain Boys were apparently able to encode information on how to build simple machinery into the genomes of all orcs. Thus, mech boys require very little training in their function within orc culture. Culture, spelled by the orcs, is K-U-L-T-U-R.
That's a bad sign.
Since they understand mechanical principles at a fully instinctive level. There's no conscious thought that goes into a mech boy's process when he's building a machine. He just thinks about what he wants it to do, and then it just, his hands do the rest of the work.
Consequently, that is how I do the title cards for every episode.
Enter a fugue state, you just black out.
Yeah,
come exactly. To 48 hours later, like, bottles of whiskey and like discarded parchments all over your apartment. Oh, dead air and a sniffle while I take a big sip of water. Great vamping, guys.
I didn't really. I can't see your fucking hands.
You can see my. It's a fucking liter bottle of Nalgene. Can't even cover for me. Yeah. So Peter, you kind of mentioned boys earlier, and we've kind of mentioned a couple of them now. There's the Brain Boys, the Odd Boys, the Mech Boys. Those are basically denominations of different classes in orc culture. So Mech Boys are guys that work on machines. Odd Boys are typically, you know, just like fighter orcs.
So I was going to ask, just now going off of what you've just said here, because Jamie had asked what their genitals look like. I'm assuming they're probably asexual because you compared them to fungus, because fungus don't breed.
As far as you know. I'm pretty sure I saw there was a type of fungus that had like 126 different sexes. So that's a lot of sex, dude. I've had like three.
Because like plants, fuck. You have like flower and pollen. And then animals, obviously.
Plants,
do.
Fuck. I'm writing that one down for the title of the episode.
Yeah. You like paused it in all caps, the fuck, too. In
between.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I love it.
Man. Damn, dog, you ever see those bees? But like fungus don't, because they eject spores.
Loreboy's canon, orcs spore. I did not look into the fucking rituals of Warhammer 40k orcs. Forgive me, dear listeners. I have failed you as an educational host, but I do not know baby. How orcs get it on, but we're going to say they just produce spores.
I'm going to spork.
Yeah. Spork, spork. I'm using that line tonight.
And then Ethan had sex again.
Implying I was gonna anyway.
Yeah.
I'm engaged, man, right? That's the joke, right? It's the 1960s, yeah, no, and we're all comedians, huh?
We're opting out.
So orcs, as we said, lack individual psychic power, being denied such abilities by the old ones. So they don't have individual psychers, like humans have psychers and Eldar have psychic units that can cast spells basically with psychic magic that they pull from the Immaterium or the Warp. Orcs, again, the old ones were like, we don't want them to vote. We don't want them, you know, no suffrage movements. And also probably shouldn't give them access to devastating psychic abilities that they could use against us someday.
For an extinct race of lizard men, they have a ton of good points when building a slave race, honestly. They thought this out. To an extent.
Although maybe if they'd given them psychic abilities and unleashed them on their enemies, that the orcs would have beaten their enemies to such a degree that the old ones would still be around.
That's true.
I mean, it could be true.
The greatest slave is the one that outlives even yourself. I think.
Is that Wayne Gretzky? Is that a Wayne Gretzky quote? Man. What didn't that guy know? So no psychic abilities. However, as we said before, they do have a sort of collaborative, collective psychic ability, meaning that if enough orcs believe something is true, then it will actually become so, brought into being in real space through the power of the Immaterium by their gestalt psychic abilities. So like cool. I said, they do have kind of psychic abilities that is just innate. They have this innate connection to the warp. It seems all living creatures do. We've discussed it on past episodes. You can travel through the warp, but you can really only enter or exit near planets because that's where there's enough life to generate enough connection to the warp.
We talked about this with the Tyranid thing. It's because they don't travel through the warp. They're the only things that have like light speed technology of some description.
Yes. So
they seek gravity with like giant ships and shit.
Yeah, exactly. So the only way that they were able to come from another galaxy, the only way that they could be an extra galactic species is by traveling via something other than the warp, because every other species uses the warp, and the warp does not exist between galaxies because there's no life out there to support the warp.
Okay.
So orcs, same as anyone else, are connected to it. They just, their connection seems to be if enough of them believe in one thing, that it'll come true. For example,
they can use their powers for good.
Well, they kind of do. So for example, orc rockets painted yellow create bigger explosions simply because the vast majority of orcs believe they do. So orcs will paint their rockets yellow when they want them to explode bigger, and they will explode bigger just because the orcs believe that they should.
And cold water boils faster.
Yeah, exactly. A bastardization of the Mpemba effect. Look it up. Very interesting. So this is also why much of the orcs' seemingly ramshackle technology will do terrible damage in the hands of orcs, but will cease to function when used by other intelligent races. So as soon as you pick up an orc gun, you're like, this is just a drawing of a gun, and you're holding a piece of paper, you know?
I would love that. just a space marine holding a cardboard tube.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good for like battlefield salvage, meaning like all those like really dramatic movie fights where a guy picks up a sword out of a dead body and uses it as like as another weapon. Because he's lost his sword, he's just like whatever, picks up like a fistful of rock candy and just whips it at another guy. And it's just like,
I mean,
off his armor.
I think it's a cool idea to your battlefield salvage point, a Loreboy's canon maybe, that like you don't want to use too powerful or too scary a weapon against the orcs because they'll think it's stronger than it is maybe. And then if they capture it, maybe it'll do more damage than it did whenever you had it because they fear it so much.
You know? Does their psychic shit go both ways, actually? Like, if you terrify them enough, do you do more damage?
I don't know the rules of the game, but okay. I
suppose would be like a lore reason for a rule.
Yeah, I would absolutely assume that it would, but again, you kind of need a huge number of orcs to do it, and orcs are very hard to scare. They kind of live for battle, love to fight and kill, and you know, they don't mind watching their brother's spores get killed and erupt into a cloud of spores to spore everybody on the battlefield.
Nice. So it's not as easy as just drawing frowny faces on all the space marines.
Dangerous.
That's scary, man.
Just angry eyebrows on the visor. That's it.
You can't fucking read, couldn't write "I am dangerous" on your chest backwards or whatever.
He's like a universal symbol, like a biohazard symbol, or like a.
Or just yellow. If you're the yellow space marines, then you're more powerful.
You explode bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
Red is also canonically faster for the orcs, so.
Is that? I thought that's just something you would always
say. That is something that I did always used to say, which came from
Is purple invisible? Is like stealth technology is purple or whatever?
Is stealth technology purple? I don't know. Where are you getting this info?
You, from like the orcs and shit they believe. Your book that you wrote. It's on Amazon.
That's true, yeah.
Is love orange?
Purple, the sneakiest color, by Ethan Palmer. Check it out at Barnes & Noble. I don't know. I know red. I think that was actually in the bonus fact for the patrons. So sorry, patrons. I gave away your bonus fact to all the listeners here. But also, the yellow going faster, or red going faster, yellow exploding bigger are the only two colors that I actually know about. But we can posit some other ones. So let's say purple is stealth. I'll say magenta is more furious, so they just attack with more fervor.
Okay.
Nice. Pink is for feet.
Okay.
That's too bad.
That's good.
Foot freaks in a race of things that don't breed? That really bothers me.
No, Jamie, you're thinking of the NFL when they do the month for breast cancer awareness. That's what
you're thinking. Yeah, and they all pin pink feet to themselves, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. After a touchdown, you cut off the opposing quarterback's feet, and you pin them to your lapel.
Right.
Okay. Trophies. There needs to be more blood trophies in football, can I just say? Mr. Goodell, crunch at us, okay? We got some great ideas for this.
Isn't there a game called Blood Bowl something?
That's super funny. There's and that would actually be a really fun episode to probably do someday. There's a canonical... Warhammer 40K violent football setting. So it
looks fun.
We can talk about it someday. Crunch at us if you want us to talk about it. Head to the Discord. Loreboys.com/about. Find the Discord link there. Okay. Let's talk a minute to talk about some orc gods. Okay. You guys love gods. Peter, you got a crucifix, right? Big god fan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we've talked about more than a few gods in our 40K episodes to date. We talked a bit about the gods of chaos. We covered the birth of one of the gods of chaos. Do you remember which one? Either of you? Real quick.
Luigi.
Slaanesh, yes. Yeah, also Luigi.
Okay.
the most horrible of the old gods. He was technically a great old one, not an old god. That's kind of the, you know, one of the outer gods that birthed the old gods. Yeah, it's an arbitrary line in the sand, really. No, but we talked about the birth of Slaanesh during our Eldar episode, when a whole planet of billions of horny Eldar devolved into hedonism. And that was just enough in the warp to kind of generate the god Slaanesh, who then murdered them all and became one of the old gods.
That's pretty cool.
Peter got Slaanesh. Do you remember the other three of the old gods?
Well, I already said Luigi.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
The other two, sorry.
Catan? No, I don't even know, dude.
That's the Settlers of Catan. The board game is one of them. Yes, and the last one.
Isn't there one guy who has like a magnet for a head? No, that's Magic the Gathering.
Yes,
fuck.
And Nicol Bolas from Magic the Gathering is the fourth.
He does not have magnetic powers. We have had this conversation before. My picture is a joke.
Yeah, we have ruined Jamie's brain. I swear to God, this podcast has ruined Jamie's brain.
And Nurgle, mm-hmm. and some other one.
Well, you know Slaanesh, and then there's Tzeentch.
Oh, excuse me. That's the last one. Yeah.
What?
The Greek god of garlicky dressings.
I love Tzatziki,
man.
Yeah.
Writing down Tzatziki for a possible name of the episode.
God damn it.
Hey, our listeners are not going to be guessing because they'll have read the title of the episode before they listen to it, probably.
Yeah.
Or they could just look at their phone now. Let's all give them a second to look at their phone and read the title of this episode, and they can let us know what it is before we end here.
Everybody look up so we can look at them looking at the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys.
Let us out. Let me out. Let me out. okay. So we also have the God Emperor himself, who certainly a deity in at least some regard. By the 42nd millennium, at least he exists at least partially within the warp entirely. Like, at least part of his consciousness exists only in the Immaterium. That's the only place he can access. Then he lives in like a golden sphere whenever he's in our dimension, I guess.
Okay.
We also talked about Khorne and a couple of the other fallen gods from the Eldar, essentially. So how does one make a god? Jamie, what would you start with? A pinch of sugar? Maybe a pinch of spice? Maybe a pinch of nice?
We've talked about god spunk before.
Yeah,
so you probably use some of that.
So it's a very human way of thinking, because that's how the humans did it. They basically used god spunk to create little demigods all over the place.
Yeah. I would say something catastrophic might do it too. Like, I don't know, like two big old galaxies colliding into each other or something. I don't know.
Could be. Peter, what would you do? If you were going to go on a perfect date with a god you just created, how would you go about creating him?
And this is not the orgy god, right? This is a different one?
This could be your own orgy god if you want. Just create your own god here. I mean, you're presumably an orc because we're talking about the orcs, but...
Yeah, because I think I know their names is the problem, so I'm not exactly guessing.
Okay, so go. What are their names? I know their names, having researched this, and I don't know how knowing their names is going to help you figure out how they were.
So I don't know how they were created exactly, but they may have just been believed into existence. But is it Gorka and Morka?
It's Gork and Mork. Sometimes called Gorka and Morka, depending on your accent, I suppose. So yeah, we know the Chaos Gods were created and are sustained by the emotions and collective desires of every sentient being of the material universe. Like the Eldar, you get billions and billions of them fucking on a planet for long enough, and sure enough, you're going to create a god. Similarly, the God Emperor rose to the status of God. He got the God part of his God Emperor title, mostly as enough people started to believe in his ability, which he proves through a myriad of strongman-like competitions with his test tube sons.
which we've covered ad nauseum at this point.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of you know, becoming the God Emperor is him traveling around and creating his own mythos around him by doing these incredible feats, much to people's astonishment.
I gotta say that as someone who's known you for a little while, you've got incredible feats too.
Thanks, dude. Thanks. That's why I charge you. So the orc race is not so different. They're relatively... Their collective unconsciousness registers in the Immaterium as much as anyone else's does. In the Orcs' case, though, their relatively simplistic psyches coalesce into two entities they worship as gods called Gork and Mork, as we've already established.
Yeah, I was close. I was close when I guessed that.
Yeah. You know, there's Gork, and then there's Robin Williams in his breakout role.
Gork and Mindy.
Gork and Mindy. I'm sure we're not. That's not going to be a title for the episode, because I'm sure that joke's been done.
Damn, too easy.
So the difference between the twin greenskinned gods is pretty simple. Gork is brutal but cunning, while Mork is cunning but brutal.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Wait, they're both of those things?
Jamie, it's like you don't even listen to me sometimes, okay?
Oh.
Gork is brutal but cunning, while Mork is cunning but brutal.
Okay.
It's the sing it first. Between...
to sing it first, give it more than the second.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Smart guys.
It's the difference. Yeah. It's okay, the difference between like bashing a guy's head in and then sneaking away and like the prison shank.
Okay. Smart guy. Is a square a rectangle?
So it can be, but.
Is a rectangle always. A square?
No, wait. The other way around.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah,
asked and answered. I answered your question, I think, okay?
I don't know what's going on still. What are these guys all about, the Mork and Mindys?
So, I mean, the point kind of is they're more or less the same entity. The difference is often summed up as Mork hits you when you aren't looking, and Gork hits you even harder when you are looking.
Okay. I like that.
Gork and Mork, like anybody's gods, just like Jesus Christ, can be defeated in battle, but never truly killed. I mean, that's Bible canon, though, right?
Yeah.
They'll always come back spoiling for another round. So you can beat the orc gods in a battle if you buy the Games Workshop or Gork and Mork miniatures. I don't know if they actually make miniatures for them, but
that'd be cool. Yeah, it's like I'm like just vamping now because Ethan's drinking the water,
and you're doing a great job. Thank you for that. It's so nice to have a minute to drink a sip of water and not have to worry about the show falling apart. So now we know a bit about what the orcs are and who they worship. Let's talk about some exciting moments with them. You know, let's go through the old photo album, the trip to the Grand Canyon. Yeah. You know,
that time they went to the Grand Canyon and devolved into chaos and killed each other.
the '80s montage.
Yeah. Just like the same like nuclear green skin family with like one photo being happy and then one photo of ripping each other to pieces.
Mom, can Jungo go to gift shop?
the Mickey Mouse ears.
And he that's enough to make him believe that he is Mickey Mouse, so he canonically turns into Mickey Mouse. They go to Plymouth Rock, and enough of them believe that it's actually interesting, that it turns into an interesting thing, and it's not just some shitty rock chained at the bottom of a hole.
Is that what that is?
Oh, look up pictures of Plymouth Rock, dude. It is extremely disappointing. You're picturing this big, like, phallic rock, and it is not at all. It is like a rock on the beach that is chained in a hole that they've built for it.
I imagine like a pride rock sort of thing.
Not even close, dude. It is
not even like a pilgrim holding another tiny pilgrim with his hat on. Like,
we can have our lore folk meet up there, and then all of our orc brains will make it more interesting than it is, like you said.
Oh, exactly. That's a good idea.
Let me pull up a picture for you here.
Jamie, pull up the clip.
Hey, that's like that guy that says the funny jokes, huh?
Rojogan.
Yeah, Fear Factor guy.
Mr. Fear Factor.
The guy from News
Radio. You know why they call him Milk Duds?
Why do we call him Milk Duds?
It's because this guy, whoever, Mr. Milk Dud, I don't know his actual name, but he wanted to make perfectly round, like chocolates, like, or with a Milk Dud in the middle or whatever. But since he could never quite get them perfectly round when he sent to the factory, they called them Milk Duds.
Okay, I'm finding files too big.
You could say wow. You could say wow, or that's a cool fact.
Sorry, I did get I got distracted. I got distracted. Now who's pulling the episode off the rails, huh? Now who's not doing a good job vamping? I missed your Milk Dud fact, but I assume it was about shoving Milk Duds up your butt or something. So good for you. Good for you, Jamie.
If he had just believed they were rounder, it would have happened.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's true.
But not even everybody believing they were tasty could make it so. not a fan of Milk Duds here. That was a dig at Milk Duds.
The orcs just like catfish themselves, basically.
they're all a beautiful woman named Susan that live nearby.
Yeah. Oh my God. Every orc is a horny MILF in your area.
Yeah. horny orcs in your area. So
it's really a call to war. If you got that ad on like 40K, like space Pornhub, and it was like horny orcs in your area, you'd probably have to like tell your local military base, we're in trouble, guys. Yeah.
Except left or right, it would be smash or pass or something like that.
Yeah. Smash. So talk about orcs. A lot of the dates in the timeline of the Milky Way galaxy are kind of tied inherently to the humans. So we're going to talk a bit about humans now again. I know we're also sick of them, but
I wouldn't be shocked if the orcs couldn't even really write in a way that we could understand.
I don't think there's like orc historians out there that are like taking notes. So probably most of it is through the scribes of the empire that are recording it.
It'd be a pretty shitty rank to just like believe the past so hard that you can tell people it happened. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
That happens IRL though, right?
Yeah, and it's boring.
So when the Emperor of Mankind revealed himself to humanity following the long night of the Age of Strife in the early 30th millennium, he shaped war-torn Terra into a single unified world for the first time in long millennia. That's what Jamie started the episode off telling us. Once yep. he had conquered Terra, he looked to taking his great crusade to the stars. That's what I filled in. Having created the foundations of the Imperium of Man, he launched his massive armies out into the galaxy, seeking to bring all of human-settled space back under the control of a unified stellar empire. During these early conquests, many Imperial expeditionary fleets encountered the Greenskin Menace, a violent xenospecies designated as the Orcs by the early Imperium. So they were called Quarks. They called themselves various denominations of boys, and then humans just managed to guess pretty close and call them Orcs.
Does Tolkien exist 40,000 years ago? Like, did that carry on?
yeah, maybe. Maybe Tolkien is canon in the Warhammer 40K universe. There's no telling, really.
Okay. Yeah.
Did Tolkien invent the term orc? It is. Yeah. It is with a K. You're saying, yeah, he did invent orcs?
Yes. Good. They're like. No, I think his idea was to like upgrade the like fantasy goblin of the time.
Hmm. Goblin Plus didn't have the same ring to it, I guess.
Yeah.
No, that sounds like a subscription now.
Well, they said big goblins, but that invalidated all the goblin doctors out there, so.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
So the Orc Empire at the time was centered on the planet Ulanor, though its reach was significant throughout the sector of the Milky Way known as the Telon Reach. One planet, the scrap world Goro, like the four-armed man from Mortal Kombat,
good.
Was dominated by the orc tech caste called the Mech Boys. So that's a lot of jargon. Basically means there's a planet, a scrap world planet called Goro, dominated by an orc tech caste. So
they have their own version of Mars, basically, in 40K lore.
What do you mean?
Because that's where the Adeptus Mechanicus of the Imperium are, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
They have their robot factories on Mars. They have their robot factory on Ulanar.
Yeah, so... Yeah, they have their own principle of a factory as big as a planet, not necessarily the red planet Mars, but yeah. I got confused there for a second.
Oh, sorry, yeah, better weather, same industry, basically.
That was me not thinking in the context of 40K. Oh.
It sounds like orcs could have named our podcast, to be honest.
The Goro Boys?
Yeah, because everything boys. Is something boys, yeah.
So the Mech Boys on the planet Goro were fascinated by a form of plasma technology found there, never encountered before nor since. Capable of generating destructive yields of cosmic potency, these plasma weapons were doing terrible work to blunt the Great Crusade's advance across the Telon Reach. What is a scrap world? It's a world that's like buried under miles of scrap, essentially. It is like a garbage dump world. It's, you know, where the brave little toaster is from.
He has a movie where he goes to Mars.
No way.
Really?
Presumably to fucking reunite with the Adeptus Mechanicus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Little toaster. Yeah, yeah. He is the machine god.
To invent a new form of plasma. To
Yeah. Or maybe it's Lampy is the machine god. It's unclear.
Yeah.
Oh, Lampy.
Lamps for the lamp god. just kind of miles of scrap all over the planet, and then the orcs kind of just like work underneath all this scrap. And while they were like the greedy dwarves from Tolkien, they mined too deep and too greedily, and they don't end up uncovering a Balrog, but they uncover this like weird form of plasma, which is like a wormhole that spits out plasma, and they're able to like weaponize that in some way because they're orcs and they just believe they can weaponize that in some way.
Nice.
Cool. The can-do attitude of these fellows is pretty fucking...
I mean, it's an unquenchable spirit, really.
Yeah.
If they weren't such an HR risk, they'd be perfect employees,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was the downfall of the old ones, really. It's too many complaints.
Yeah. One slow day and they ripped each other to pieces.
So they've weaponized this plasma, and it's doing really good work at slowing the Empire advancement across the galaxy, which obviously humans don't like. Once it was discovered that these attacks were coming from Goro, the Emperor quickly declared that the planet must be destroyed. When a 1,000-strong fleet of warships dropped out of the warp above Goro, it was the Emperor himself who gave the order to begin the assault. Horus, Primarch of the vaunted Luna Wolves Space Marines Legion, and the ever-dutiful Sun, stood at the Emperor's side and watched as tens of thousands of assault craft spread out from the fleet. The Luna Wolves teleported into the scrap layers beneath the planet's surface, forced to hollow out Goro from within due to the planet's high resistance to orbital bombardment. So they just have so much garbage above them that like you can't subject them to orbital bombardment because it just hits the garbage.
I was going to ask about that, but I was waiting for you to finish. Thank God that question's been answered. I was like, why not just blow it up from space?
Yeah. It's a tactical nuke stuck in a six ring that someone didn't cut up properly.
They all warp in, and they all warp into like one of like 10,000. It's a 10,000 big or a thousand big can holder, and they all warp in all their ships, and each one of their ships gets stuck in a different hole. So they're like, I guess we gotta go down. So they hollow out a little hole for themselves to walk in, and the Emperor ports down, Horus by his side. They fought with the black-clad Justeran Terminators of the Luna Wolves, as well as the golden-clad warriors of the Emperor's own soldiers, the Legio Custodes. So both the Horus's black space marines and the Emperor's gold space marines fighting side-by-side to clear Goro. As the space marines attacked, the orc resistance they faced was near overwhelming. The orcs of Goro were huge and augmented with scavenged bionics. Some stood taller than dreadnoughts, and their weaponry burned through Astartes' power armor easily.
Okay, so they've got like the six pack shield, and then the five fingered plastic straw hand on their mech suit, basically, so they could just like shred Space Marines to pieces.
They just have plastic straws, and the Space Marines keep swallowing them, and then they keep
choking. Oh, yeah, they're stuck in the vent in the front of the helmet. Yeah.
They get stuck on their back, and they're just flailing their arms.
Yeah. We shouldn't talk too much about this. Games Workshop might get mad that we suggest that you can build these figurines out of household items.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can't even paint them with household paints, man. You need the Citadel paint. So the orcs are strong. Their weaponry is just burning through Astartes' power armor, probably because the orcs believe that it should or can. And they're taller than dreadnoughts, which are themselves like 12 to 15 feet tall. So some of them just stand that tall. At the height of the battle, the fury of the orcs split the Emperor from his guards. Alone, he slew hundreds of them until a blast from an orc plasma weapon weakened his defenses, and one of the orc leaders seized him. The creature's strength was so great that it took hold of the Emperor and buckled his golden armor.
That's insane.
As the creature's grasp closed to throttle the master of mankind, Horus stormed through the press of battle and cut the orc's arms from its body with a single blow. Together, father and son led their forces deeper into the vast sphere of scrap until they reached the center of Goro. So if there wasn't a demigod there, like this random big orc probably would have just like crushed the life out of the god of mankind, essentially.
Wow. Dude, imagine that big orc though, like being Little Spoon next to that guy.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Except he's no arms anymore, but
Well, if he was just missing the one arm, that's ideal cuddling. Yeah, is missing one arm.
That's even more comfortable for the Big Spoon, because my shoulder gets sore sometimes, right?
That's what do you do with that arm, you know what I mean? Like you put it under you, you're like, oh, I put it under your head, and then you wake up with just like the completely dead arm in the middle of the night.
They make mattresses where you can put it like under and around your spouse.
Oh, there's like a snuggle sleeve in the mattress. Oh, I'm into that.
They do make pillows too, like that, I think.
But nice. Wedding gift. All right.
I'm getting you and Dara both fleshlights for your wedding gift. That's my plan.
Yeah.
Bugs Life fleshlights.
Not gonna ask what you guys do with them. Hey, none of my business, okay? But the kids enjoy. So the Emperor worked to collapse the self-sustaining plasmasphere that powered much of the world's scavenged orc technology and that contained a warp fold envelope, whatever sci-fi bullshit that is, so that Goro would implode into the warp. So basically he's like, hey, this plasma, you know, look, there's a can attached to this plasma, and there's a string attached to this can, and oh my god, this string goes into the warp. There must be another can at the other end. He's like, dial one for terror, and he like presses the one button on the can, and
oh my god,
he walks away and it just collapses into the warp. The Emperor proved successful. Without his power source, the scrap world collapsed in on itself. A hollow skin of rusted metal around an empty void was all that remained to mark the death of the great orc world of Goro.
Oh.
Okay. So they managed to just collapse the planet. So did they kind of separate the orcs' belief that this planet even existed in the first place?
No. So they set off a bomb on the inside, which just like vaporized everything in a certain radius, but it didn't even blow up the whole planet or like suck it all in. So there's like this floating, like hollow sphere of scrap still where the planet Goro was once.
Okay.
That is cool.
Just straws and six pack rings just orbiting a exploded planetary core.
So, seeing how potent the threat would be, the Emperor would declare a crusade on the Orc Empire of Ulanor, and with Horus at his side, would strike out against them. Like I said, this is the setup for a potential future episode. If you guys want to hear it, do let us know. You can email us, contact@loreboys.com. We're on Twitter, @loreboys. On Instagram, @loreboys.
Loreboys Podcast.
God, I so wish we had thought to keep everything consistent when we first started this show, but we sure didn't, huh?
It's because we started all our social media at different times and didn't talk to each other.
thanks so much for listening, everyone. Again, this episode was voted on at patreon.com/theloreboys. If you guys want to suggest an episode to us, you can always find us on our Discord and just say it to us there. Not every single one of our episodes will be a poll. In fact, this was the first one. But I don't know. We're trying to find ways to give back more to the community and interact with you guys always. If you like the show, please tell your friends and stop by, say hi on the Discord. It really means the world to us when somebody stops in and just, you don't have to be active, but just a message to us saying like, hey, your show is great and you made me pee my pants at my wedding while I had my iPod in while I was getting married. Like, that's a great story for me.
It's really cool just to see, like, the community talking about stuff they're interested in, too. And, like, a lot of us, if we're listening here, we have similar interests. So you'll probably meet some cool people if you join up.
Yeah. My favorite thing is when people interact with shit that I don't know about. It's kind of when the community takes care of itself. I'm just like, ah, yes, we have planted good seeds and have grown good lore crops here. And, like, people are just... with common interests are just like internet friends now.
Yeah.
It's all those fleshlight jokes that just brings us together.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, one fleshlight, that's lonely. Two fleshlights, now that's a union.
That's a party.
So actually, this I have a sponsored message today. Not from any kind of real sponsor, but from Terry, our top tier patron on patreon.com. We made a joke Patreon tier that we didn't think anybody would ever buy into, and we promised some things in it, which we never thought we'd ever have to pony up, but one of those things was you could send us a message and we'll curate it and read it on the air. So here's a message from Terry. Terry has asked you all to go listen to our Pikmin and Blake Jihad episodes. He's told Jamie to go watch the Star Wars prequels. He wanted to throw in a plug for Peter's new cat. He's also asked that I let you all know that the mineral rights to Jamie's body, which he bought off Patreon, are serving him terrifically well. Quote, big profits, huge. thanks so much, Terry. Means a lot, your support.
Yeah,
I did a lot of Minecraft with him, so of the mining of the boys, he definitely did the most with me for sure.
He's our miniest boy. If you want to be like Terry, have us read your stuff on air, own rights to Jamie's body, check out our Patreon tier list and choose one that suits you. I've plugged the link a couple times, but one more time, patreon.com/theloreboys. I mentioned a couple other social media. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter. Peter, where can we find you?
At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. And if you go to loreboys.com/about and check out TeePublic, you can look at the merch and suggest the merch. It's not important to me if you buy it or not. It's just if you have a good idea for something to put up that somebody might like, I am much more of a suggestions guy than a salesman. I'm just happy to have like new little ideas to put in. We've got like the Harlan Ellison steak and cheese, putting things on a piece of corn. A lot of the product right now is suggestions, and it's just always fun. It's like if it's something you might like or something you think someone might like, I think it's just check it out. At least take a look, and then of course leave us reviews, which is vastly more important than really anything.
You can find me on Steam, JayMilk, Jay Milk. Send me all the games that you want me to play, and I'll play them. Yeah. Maybe.
Probably. Shout out to Anthony on Patreon, who I have promised to both play a game and read a book, which I have not started either of yet, nor bought either of yet. But we'll get to it, buddy, I promise.
It's Celeste, right?
Celeste and The Stand by Stephen King.
Ah.
thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you don't want to support us via Patreon, we do, of course, always offer Loreboys Prime, which is our own kind of premium gaming service that we offer to you guys. This week, it's very special, but it's because it's so special and because it's such a powerful gift, we have to charge quite a bit. So it's going to be $200 that you have to send us. But we're going to send you a gift immeasurably more valuable, okay? We're going to send you the power of belief. We three boys, the lore boys, are going to believe in you, okay? You send us $200 in the mail, and we'll believe in you for whatever you're doing. You tell me you're going for that job application? Hey, I believe in you, buddy. You tell me you're going to the moon? Hey, I believe in you, buddy. You tell me you're building a go-kart powered on your own piss? Hey, I believe in you, buddy, okay? As long as you send us $200. Otherwise, I have very little faith in you. But as you guys know, our connection to the warp, the Immaterium, is quite powerful. So I'm kind of inclined to believe that if I just think it hard enough, I can make your dreams come true. Hasn't worked out for my own dreams. It's been pretty far off, not gonna lie. But I think I can do it for you. I think I can guide others to a treasure I could never possess. And I guess that is a wrap and would constitute
a lore boys
out.
Lore boys here. Just doing a sound check, so
I see.
I thought you guys in radio land.
Back on.
Yeah, my sound was quite low on that last one, so I'm hoping this fixes it. I realized my mic was on the wrong cardioid.
I love that guy used self-promo to show us his pie. I'm like way more into his cakes.
True.
Oh, I missed that.
Just a constant.
Coming at you from inside the microwave, it's Ethan of the Lore Boys.
My skin hurts a lot already. I hope this episode's quick.
Are you looking for a great new vacation destination this Christmas? Well, you don't have to go anywhere for fear of COVID. Just hop into your microwave.
I like that meme where it's like, girls only like those buff boys. And then a boy being like, guys only like bitchy bimbos or something like that. Oh, it's just a microwave going...
Yeah,
full fucking blast.
My favorite one of that was when it just cuts to one of the bird Pokemon. It's the pre-evolution of one of my favorite ones that I have on my team, and it's just like bitchy bimbos and like and then it just cuts to like the Pokemon with like the super hard bit crushed like bird screen. the best one though actually is the elite from
the
Halo
elite.
One.
That's what I was gonna say. That's gotta be the one I remember the most. Peter,
dude, you asked him how to make a god. He made a god.
You can blame it all on me.
Lost power, shit.
I'm going to create a god by disconnecting from the Discord call.
Oh, we're still live.
I mean, it's technically still live.
There was a couple moments there where Ice was just walking into the corner over and over again, trying to get the cone off of her head. It was really sad.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this thing.
She can't just like curl up like she normally does, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'll like let it off for short supervised times or something.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.